The Lord be with you. Friends, grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship this morning at First Presbyterian Church. We're glad that each one of you could brave the cold and everything going on to be here today. We're glad that we can worship together. Welcome, too, to those of you watching at home on Facebook Live. We're glad that you could be with us. If you look farther down the Facebook page, you'll find a PDF link to this morning's bulletin where you can see our announcements and follow along in the liturgy. For those of you who are here, if you turn to the inside cover of the bulletin, you can see announcements too. There are a few things I want to point out to you this morning. Next week, immediately following worship, will be our annual congregational meeting where we'll also vote on my terms of call. So we do hope that you can plan to stay a few minutes after worship. That should hopefully only take a few minutes. As we do some early beginning of the year housekeeping. To that end, session will also be meeting this week following worship upstairs in Hollis Hall, and for those who are at home, virtually on Zoom as well. Feel free to talk to a new session member if you'd like to hear what's happening in the church as we begin a new year with new ministry opportunities as new elders acclimate to life in leadership. So we ask for your prayers for our session as we convene for the first time this year, and as we continue to think about ways to love and serve our neighbor here. If you see in the bulletin, there are a couple of plans on hiatus in light of the community situation, both for Christian education and missions, but if you are interested in being connected with any of those ministries, ask a member of staff or session. Pay attention to the newsletter, and we will continue to think about ways to connect and to share in mission here. Of course, this morning, we are grateful to have the opportunity to gather, to celebrate, to worship. So with great joy, let us worship God together, and let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbors.
The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true, and righteous altogether. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And let us pray. Almighty God, we come to praise and worship, to celebrate your gift to us in the life of Jesus Christ. Let the words we hear bring us into Christ's presence. Help us to receive them with hope and share them in love as his faithful disciples, bearing his image into the world you made through him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God in confidence. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. And together we pray. God of salvation, you call us into lives of brave discipleship, following in the way of Jesus Christ, your Son. Yet we prefer the familiar routines of safety and comfort. You call us to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with you. We ignore the cries of the needy. We strain our compassion and elevate ourselves above others. You call us to worship you in spirit and in truth. We follow idols of our own making. Lord, have mercy and forgive our sins. Let your Spirit renew and restore us, that in your forgiveness we might become the disciples you have claimed and called. In Jesus Christ, amen. Hear the good news. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed your sins from you. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Loving God, you have made us that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Give us a hunger for your word, and in that food, satisfy our longing. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 17. Listen for God's word. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar. I will set it out. I will break off a tender one from the topmost of the young twigs. I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it, in order that it may produce boughs and bear fruit and become a noble cedar. Under it, every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. All the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I will bring low the high trees. I will make high the low tree. I will dry up the green tree and make the dry one flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will accomplish it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
To the Lord in prayer.
We continue our journey through the Gospel of Luke with chapter 13. Jesus, on the way to Jerusalem, tells stories and gives signs of the coming kingdom of God. The Gospel of Luke, listen for God's word to you. Then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down." Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he had laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, but not on the Sabbath day." The Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. He said, therefore, "What is the kingdom of God like? And to what should I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made a nest in its branches." And again he said, "To what should I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, whether we feel cut down or beset in spirit or unable to stand up straight, let your word comfort and encourage, heal and help, so that in our hearing and our living, we might realize the joy of your salvation given freely in Jesus Christ. Amen. "For 3 years, I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" I don't know about you, but I have sympathy for the fig tree. Because who in the world feels like they are bearing fruit right now? It's not just you. Things feel worse right now, and it's probably because they are worse. How many people do you know who have gotten COVID in the last 2 weeks or been sick otherwise? You may have been that person. 300-400 cases a day in Whitfield County, that gets dispiriting after a while. If you watch the news, you know we're in the midst of a violent crime spike. For people, that is the biggest concern around the country. There have been all kinds of attendant effects on behavior due to chronic stress and pandemic fatigue, short of violence, road rage incidents in school, behavioral incidents, chronically stressed institutions that make for unpleasant experiences. That's not to mention the effects of the past couple of weeks, or really the past couple of years, on children and youth, especially having to do with mental health. Significant portions of our children's lives have been spent negotiating masks and learning more about germ theory than any five-year-old should know. So it's unsurprising that children are upset or manifesting mental health disorders among youth too. Churches aren't faring much better. The average church is missing a third of its membership over the last 2 years, and if you look around the room, you can see that might be about right. There's still apocalyptic rhetoric about the nation's political future. Russia poised to invade Ukraine. I read an article the other day about the catastrophic effects of melting Arctic permafrost. We truly live in an age of wonders. Last week I mentioned a comet, so I thought I had to fill in the rest. It's been a while since I mentioned a litany of catastrophes, but I think it's helpful to hear sometime. I understand there are reasons why you might be stressed. And maybe you, in your own life, have your reasons too. Job stresses, marriage stresses, relationships, tense friendships, or conflicts with neighbors. There's the regular catalog of illnesses of cancer and COVID, all of which can hit too close to home. So you can come to church thinking that maybe for a minute or two or even an hour you can forget about all of these things, or maybe cast in light of God's promise, they'll look different. But then it can be doubly discouraging to come to church on a day like this with all that's going on in the world and all that's going on in your life and hear Jesus say in a parable, "See, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree and still I find none. Cut it down." I don't think this has been a banner year or two for most of us. And maybe on another cold day in January you're feeling much the same. You feel tired or less hopeful or even dispirited. You don't need one more thing on your to-do list right now. And Jesus is telling you, bear fruit or else. Maybe we could have skipped this one today. Why is this story here? The simple or mundane answer is that we're in a mishmash section of Luke. Jesus has turned his face toward Jerusalem. We're moving to the climax of the story. It's a few chapters away yet. Luke only has so much time to put together the pieces, all of the sayings and stories he's gathered from other gospels or other communities throughout the ancient world. He's putting it all together, and so the order can seem quite random. So it's strange that following this story about a fig tree, we get a healing episode at the synagogue. Why are these two together? Why all this, after all this, parables about the kingdom of God? So we'll start with a fig tree. The fig tree is like a clock counting down in the gospel. Jesus is going to Jerusalem. He's getting ready for his death. The immediately preceding passage has warnings set in store for that city that even though there are problems going on elsewhere in the world, soon enough they'll hit close to home at the center of our faith. God's judgment is coming. Be prepared. So Luke's early readers might have heard this prediction as a prediction about the fall of Jerusalem. The city was destroyed in 70 AD. The center of faith was destroyed. But as we're still in the midst of the gospel, we hear it as a warning about what's going to happen. There's still time to repent, to turn your life around before the judgment comes. Jesus has set his face to Jerusalem. It's almost time. What more does he need to do at this point in the gospel to convince you? But again, we're only halfway through. You may still be thinking, well, I'm not bearing fruit. It's not time yet. There's still time. So then we get to the next story. And I think that sounds a bit more like us right now. The scene shifts to a synagogue on the Sabbath. Jesus is teaching, but the story isn't about his teaching. We don't hear what he says. At the synagogue, we meet a woman with a spirit that has crippled her for 18 years. So here's one who is not bearing fruit. So I'll bet she knows what we feel like, a crippled spirit. We're not even told what the spirit is that's actually crippling her. Maybe it's an 18-year marriage that's gone into a tailspin and there's no way to pull out of it. An 18-year illness that has just not gotten better. An 18-year relationship with a church that no longer satisfies. An 18-year career that has ended in disappointment. We're left to guess what it is. This particular woman is bent over, but it's not just a problem of body, it's a problem of soul. It's a spirit. Maybe that's a bit more how we feel than someone who's bearing fruit. Jesus sees the woman and he calls her over. He says, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And when he had laid hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. Another story, another miracle. Jesus manifests the power of God. This formerly bent over woman can stand up straight. Thanks be to God. If only it were that easy for us. Then we get the response of the synagogue leader. As H.L. Mencken said about Puritanism, it's the haunting fear that someone somewhere may be happy. The synagogue leader seems to show a similar cast of mind. The woman is healed. Thanks be to God. But doesn't Jesus know he's not supposed to do that sort of thing on the Sabbath? And if that sounds familiar, you're right, it is. Jesus has had similar run-ins in the past, conflicts about just this sort of thing earlier in the gospel. And in fairness to the synagogue leader, it's not really a quibble. Rest on the Sabbath is part of God's ordering of creation. And to violate that is nothing less than violating the will of God, which is why the world is the mess that it is anyway. Of course, God knows it's a mess. That's why he sends Jesus. So that our expectations of the ways our lives have to be or our faith has to be doesn't shut us off from the astounding grace of God that meets us on worship on the Lord's Day in another pandemic year and a cold January. So you may feel like you have a spirit that has crippled you, that your life is not bearing fruit, that you have so much to do and you're hardly getting by, hardly keeping your head above water. And maybe that's why you can't feel excited for church just at this moment. Or why in the world is there that committee meeting today? Why does that appointment have to be this week? Or why won't my children talk to me? Why won't my boss get off my back? Why am I bent down with worry, trying to do more, when the only thing that God cares about in Jesus Christ is whether or not you will be healed? Because there is nothing else you have to do to be worthy. No more work you need to do at your job. No more obligation you need to meet as a partner or parent. No additional committee you need to serve on. No religiously oriented task you need to do. No objective measure of money or success. You do not need to do anything else to bear fruit. You will bear fruit. You are bearing fruit because the God who made you wants nothing less than your healing and salvation, no matter what other things you think you have to be doing right now. And if you don't believe it, consider what comes next. What is the kingdom of God like, and to what should I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches. Mustard seed is pretty small. It's an insignificant seeming thing. You wouldn't think much of it if you were to plant it in a garden. You might not have much hope for it coming up at all. Jesus continues, "To what should I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened." And you wouldn't think much of the grains of yeast it takes to leaven a loaf of bread. We may see ourselves now as stuck or dried out, languishing or not bearing much fruit. Jesus sees something more. As the small way of salvation that appears in ordinary places on the Lord's Day, today, in your life, even if it feels like sometimes you are wasting the soil. Some months ago, on my trip to Israel, I had the chance to visit the shepherd's field in Bethlehem. It's one of the possible settings for where the shepherds might have heard the good news of Jesus coming. And it's a guess, like most of those sites are. But above this particular shepherd's field, there's a cave. It's not much of a shelter, it's not very large, but it's large enough for a small gathering of people, a few animals, and a sleeping child in a manger. Is that where Jesus was born? So no one knows. But I remember there was a flowering bush on top of the hill over where the cave was. It looked like goldenrod until our guide took a flower and crushed it in his hand and showed us mustard seeds, planted where God planted our salvation. Planted disciples, which were just enough to spread good news, planted churches and peoples, planted us, planted who knows how many seeds in your life. So no matter how you are feeling today, right now, know that God has planted you too. You may not feel like a thriving fig tree bearing fruit. You may be nervous about the time, nervous about wasting soil, ready to be cut down. You may feel like there is a spirit that is weighing down on you and you can't possibly meet all of the expectations you have for yourself, as if those obligations are going to be the thing that bears the presence of God in your life. You might sometimes ask yourself, is this all there is? Maybe this is not the time of bearing fruit in your life, but the time of planting seeds that will flower much later on. Planted in communities like ours, and in churches like ours, and in lives like ours. And it may only feel like you have faith the size of a mustard seed at this point. Always remember, in God's hands, that's enough. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
I would ask that you remain standing as I call forward our elder to be ordained and installed. Hear these words from our Book of Order. The call to ordered ministry in the church is an act of the triune God. The call is evidenced by the movement of the Holy Spirit in the individual conscience, the approval of a community of God's people, and the concurring judgment of a council of the church. As there were in Old Testament time elders for the government of the people, so the New Testament church provided persons with particular gifts to share in discernment of God's Spirit and governance of God's people. Accordingly, congregations should elect persons of wisdom and maturity of faith, having demonstrated skills in leadership and being compassionate in spirit. Ruling elders are not so named because they lord it over the congregation, but because they are chosen by the congregation to discern and measure its fidelity to the Word of God, to strengthen and nurture its life and faith. Today, we ordain and install Leanna Granillo as yet another elder to love and serve this congregation and to lead us in discerning God's will and living into God's plan for our congregation. This is an act of the entire church to ordain her and to install her. So as we place this burden of leadership upon her and as we pray for her, let us confess the one faith that carries all of us. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Leanna, these questions are for you as you take vows for what it means to be an elder. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledge Him Lord of all and head of the church, and through Him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you?
I do.
Do you accept the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the Church Universal, and God's word to you? Do you?
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Do you and will you?
I do and I will.
Will you fulfill your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? Will you?
I will.
Will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you?
I will.
Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit? Will you?
I will.
Will you, in your own life, seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? Will you? Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? Do you?
I do.
Will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Will you?
I will.
Will you be a faithful ruling elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you?
I will.
Will you share in government and discipline, serving in councils of the church? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you?
I will.
These questions are for you, the Church of First Presbyterian Church, the Church of Jesus Christ. Do we as members of the church accept Leanna Granillo as a ruling elder, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? Do we agree to pray for her, to encourage her, and to respect her decisions, and to follow as she guides us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? Leanna, I would ask you to face the front of the church and kneel. Although typically we invite elders and all who have been ordained to come forward again, for obvious reasons, we're not all crowding up here. But on behalf of the church, I will lay hands on Leanna. Let us pray together. Holy God, from the beginning, you set aside those you called to be a blessing for others. You blessed Abraham so that he would be a blessing to the nations. You set aside elders and priests to bring holy things into the sight of your people. You called prophets to announce your word. You anointed kings to serve your people. And in the fullness of time, you anointed your son in the waters of baptism. Through his life, we have seen what righteousness and faithfulness look like. And here, through our common life together, we resolve to do the same. We recognize our fallibility and our inability to do so, yet in our baptisms you have so covered us in your love that we confess we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So we ask your blessing on Leanna, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon her, that you would bless her, encourage her, empower her to do your work, to give her your mercy and love as you ordain her to this work. We set her aside for this great calling and so commit to support her as she serves you through your ministry in this church. We pray for her as she enters this work. We pray that you give her attentive ears to the whisper of your Spirit. Give her energy, intelligence, imagination, and love as she leads and governs your people. Give her wisdom as she exercises discipline and measures this community's faithfulness to you. So bless her in this work, even as you have blessed each one of us and all that we do. We pray all these things in the name of the one who has claimed us and called us, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may stand. Leanna, you are now an ordained and installed ruling elder in the Church of Jesus Christ. Know that the prayers of this congregation, of each one of us, go with you. We pray, we will pray and support you as you show God's love and mercy to us.
You may be seated. Let us join together as we offer prayers for the concerns of the church and the world, first in silence. Holy God, on a cold day when the wind blows outside, we come to this place to rest in the shelter of your house, under the shadow of your wings. For a moment, we know that the problems of our lives can wait, that you are ready to meet us in the quiet and the stillness of prayer. We ask that you speak, Lord, for we are listening. We are listening for words that tell us you love us, that you care for us, that you will be with us wherever we go or no matter the challenges that we face. As we listen, as we pray, we ask that you speak your still small voice into our hearts, that we would receive your grace, that we would sense it with us as we rest here and as we go from here. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we are here because we trust that you are still speaking. So we pray that you would give us ears to hear in our worship and fellowship. Give words to our leaders as they listen for your movement in the life of our congregation. Give words to those who sing and teach. Give words to those who come here looking for signs of your grace in the midst of ordinary life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, we pray for your presence, for a comforting word, especially with those who are sick. So we pray for Pat Rivers, Judy Farley, Ashley Eaton, Comer Turley, Layla Hinkle, Robert Stromberg, Stan Crawford, Kristen Sanders. For all who continue to suffer from COVID-19, for all others we know and care for and carry with us, we pray that you would speak your word of love and healing into their lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, we pray for a word of hope for those who need it, for those members of our community not far away from us who suffer from exposure to the cold or who do not have safe or warm places to go. We pray for those who need hope as they look for work or a way to support families. We pray for those who are just looking for their next meal. So on this day, as we remember your Son's provision for us, we pray that you would give yourself to those who need you most. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, we pray for words of wisdom for those in power, for clarity of thought and purpose, for decision makers whose decisions affect the lives and livelihoods of so many. We pray that you would provide for all of those who are so vulnerable at this time. We pray that your presence of peace would cover our divided and rancorous country, that we would know the healing only you can bring. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. These and all our prayers we offer in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, your word of love to us. So we ask that you hear us in Christ's name in the way he teaches his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God gives graciously, and we respond in gratitude through our own gifts. So in this time of offering, I encourage you to think about the ways God is calling you to love and serve your neighbor here. You can leave a gift in the offering plate in the narthex. You can follow the instructions on the giving tab of our website. The address is found in your bulletin, where you can think and pray about how God is calling you to serve here. Let us worship God with our gifts. Let us pray. Holy God, on this day we recognize your abundance, although sometimes it feels like in our lives we do not have enough. But here we confess through our giving and our living that what you give us is always enough, and that in your hands what we return to you is always enough too. So bless us in our giving and our lives, in our faithfulness to your word, that through our church, through our community, we might show something of your love and grace for the sake of the world you have loved, in Jesus Christ. Amen. However you feel today, right now, in this moment, or in this season of your life, whether you are bearing fruit or that seems like something that is very far away, know that you are in God's hands, and in God's hands you are enough. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.